Their children are sacrificed on the altar of my career. Careers were not mentioned. As a young boy, I can remember hearing the adults talk of women who worked outside the home. In almost all cases, the primary reason was that the husband did not earn enough money to support the family, so his wife reluctantly left her rightful place in the home to get a job. Career was never mentioned in any of these incidents. It was always due to a lack of the husband's ability to support his wife and children. In no way was Mom leaving the home looked upon as something good or enviable, but rather as an unfortunate necessity. I can also remember waiting in our front yard for Dad to come home from work at the local ironworks. I would sit on my tricycle, with tires made from an old water hose with wire running through the center and twisted at the ends to hold it around the rim of the wheels, anxiously looking down the sidewalk for him. Notice that I said the sidewalk and not the road, for you see, my dad did not own an automobile. We were poor, yet content. My dad never made much money, but he was always a man of character, a man who supported Mom and his six little ones. Never in my life did I ever perceive being poor as something to be ashamed of or less than noble. In fact, my mother not having to work, as some less fortunate moms in my little mind, meant that Dad was a successful man, one who supplied his family not only with all the material things they needed, but one who had plenty of time for us kids after getting home from work. Many children today are unable to receive this luxury from their mother, much less their father, who in many cases is no longer living with the family. Things are definitely not good for the family today, yet few are willing to acknowledge it for fear of someone asking the question, what needs to be done to turn things around? I was born and raised in a small southern town in the early 1940s, and for the most part, people were pretty much like us, except for not having a car. There was a togetherness about the family in those days that was very noticeable. Families just congregated together, talked, and played games. For the most part, we truly liked each other, and I can never remember a time that Mom and Dad were not there for us. They were always there. We were truly a family. We enjoyed being a family, and there was never any doubt who was in charge. It was always Daddy, then Mom, then whomever they chose to oversee us. As the years passed and I entered the world of the employed, I was unaware at first of the growing number of young girls entering the workplace. Now I knew they were working, but I did not understand just what was really happening. It's something like knowing that people are smoking cigarettes, but only after years of seeing it come to realize they are doing more than just smoking. They are killing themselves. If you remember, we were told that cigarettes are bad for our health and that smoking could cause cancer, yet it seemed no one really believed it could be true, or at least it could not happen to them. At least with the cigarette, we had been warned, and today the attack against the tobacco industry is relentless. However, with the working moms, there was no one in the community speaking out against the potential danger to the family. Absolutely nobody. In those days, it was fairly common for a young girl to get a job to make some extra money until the day she found that special guy and they got married. Then she would immediately quit her job and retire, as she would say. She wanted to be a wife and mother. Unlike young women of today who have desensitized to motherly contact with their children, young women of my day were intrigued by visions of being surrounded by tiny babies and children. As young girls, they would have baby dolls that nursed and wet their diapers. Today, young girls are playing sports like the boys, yet no one sees a problem. The mother's role in the family was seen by almost all as something not only honorable, but something necessary, if you called yourself a family. Though there were and are today many cigarette warnings, there were and are no warnings considering the dangers associated with women working outside of the home. In fact, it is at this very moment in time being heralded as liberation, a long-delayed freedom. One Catholic theologian stated that women have been liberated from the oppression of men. A Catholic priest stated that he is glad that women no longer have to be subject to their husbands. One might retort, "You just use statements of two liberals." I wish this was so, but sad to say, they are not liberals, but are what most would call conservatives. The world has influenced the church far more than the church has influenced the world. The staggering divorce rate is the fruit of the abandonment of God's plan for the family. The big change. If it was not bad enough that more and more women were leaving the home, a new change or twist reared its ugly head. Career. For the most part, women would use phrases such as, "I need to help with the family expenses." This sounds very noble, and who would want to chide a woman for helping with the family expenses? In some cases, no doubt, the statement was legitimate. For many, however, it was a facade to cover up the desire to rid themselves of their God-given responsibilities. After all, what woman in her right mind would want to stay home after being convinced, not only by the world, but sad to say by the church as well, that the home is a prison of a sort that a woman must be freed from? Good people who defended motherhood and the dignity and prestige that accompanied the mother, who dedicated her life to her family, found themselves silenced by the loud and often shrieking voices of the radical feminists. These women would stop at nothing in trashing motherhood and promoting careers for women outside the home. For them, traditional family life must be destroyed. The pressure on the church was so immense that some good people actually lost their respect for the motherly place in the home. Yes, the stage was being set for the drastic decline in the value of the mother's indispensable role in the home. With the word career, there is no effort to put a pretty face on something ugly. Today, there is definitely no shame for most women to abandon their family. They are bold and arrogant in expressing their independence from husbands and children. Career is a word that says, I am the most important person to me, and I am proud of it. I come first, and I dare anyone to challenge my right to my chosen pursuits. Anyone. No easy solution. Now I like to hasten to make it clear that I do not fault them completely. When one takes into consideration the materialistic and paganistic society that these women grew up in, and are to this day mired in, there is no doubt that sufficient knowledge and full consent of the will is very likely lacking. However, the breaking of God's divine order has its natural consequence. These poor women, though they may escape the eternal consequences of their actions due to lack of knowledge and full consent of the will most certainly experience their hell on this side of eternity. Many in the church have forgotten that sin has its natural consequences. Something to ponder at this time is, who is it that is going to answer for these women's betrayal of their family? Remember the words of Christ, if your brother sins and you don't tell him, the sin is yours. It seems that in today's society, when our sisters sin, we accept the sin and call this acceptance Christian charity. And if someone tries to advise these women of an apparent wrong, they are accused of being cruel, intolerant, insensitive, or downright mean. There are no easy solutions to the problem that plague the modern family today. Family life is so far from what sacred scripture and the church envisioned, it is to be that even our most faithful bishops and priests are fearful to attempt some type of reversal. There are things that we both can and must do to gradually change the minds and hearts of not only the mothers, but dads as well. In all likelihood, dad is most responsible for this horrible situation in the family, even more responsible than the hardcore feminists, for it was due to the husband's laziness and non-committed attitude toward his God-given responsibility that caused women to rebel and brought about the destruction of the modern-day family. We were warned. Throughout history, Holy Mother Church has always warned her children whenever dangers threaten, through the Vicar of Christ, her popes. Often, however, these warnings and directions never got down to the children. Pope Pius XII, in 1941, warned of the problems working mothers outside the home would bring about when he stated, "What of the children God sends them? How are these watched over, cared for, educated, and instructed? You see them often, we would not say abandoned, but from the very beginning entrusted to the hands of a stranger, brought up and guided more by others than they are their mother, who in the exercise of her profession is kept far from them. Why wonder if in these circumstances the sense of hierarchy in the family fades and begins to disappear? Why wonder the supervision of the father and the care of the mother do not suffice to render the family circle happy and lovable?" Has the modern-day family ever heard words such as this? I would venture to say, not likely. We continue, quoting, "At the same time, as divorces multiplied, the family began to disintegrate, and womanly affections and behavior deviated from the straight path of virtue to such an extent that it drew from the Seneca the bitter lament. Does there now remain any woman at all who is ashamed to break her marriage?" How many hundreds of talks on the family have been given by popes throughout the last century, yet the message never got down to the people. All the while, the world, with all its glamour, was doing a superb job of teaching God's people its evil lifestyle. Restoration is necessary. The first and foremost thing that must be restored is the belief in God of the Scriptures. I say the God of Scripture and not just God, because each person, it seems, has developed in his mind a God of his own making. So if you ask if they believe in God, they say yes, of course. However, with just a few questions, you find that their God gets his authority from them. They will have nothing to do with a God who has rules and regulations that would impose limits or restrictions on the way they want to live their life. Now, the God of Scripture demands high moral values. He demands fidelity, inspired by love for him, as well as love between husband and wife. The God of the Scriptures demands an until-death love and fidelity, not just a lust, leave and forget them mockery of his divine plan for his people. People must be given reasons to be faithful, not excuses for justifying their sinful lifestyles. They have to be educated in what it means to be a Christian in practice and not in name only. Let us cover a few things that would aid in turning around our family crisis. Once a couple has been convinced that Scripture is the inspired Word of God and is relevant in today's society, success is already half achieved. We must always remember that success in anything requires belief and dedication. To be dedicated to our family, we must feel that it is something very important. It is extremely difficult to be dedicated to something the society views as unimportant. Thus, it is easy to see why family problems have increased. The value of the family has rapidly declined in the past decades, while self-gratification and self-fulfillment have taken its place as something important and worth sacrificing for. Now, I will admit, the world has given love of family flowery lip service. However, the authentic, dedicated love and concern are rare in the vast majority of families. Only heroic families will survive. Father John Hardened, a holy and learned theologian, made this statement, "Only heroic families will survive." We can take this statement and word it this way, "Unless your family is heroic, it will not survive." This is something that all in the church must come to understand, starting with the bishop of the diocese, to the priest in the parish, to the parents in the home. The fact is that unless the family makes a heroic effort, it will not survive. We must take the survival of the family seriously. For too long we have denied the seriousness of the matter. For too long we have tried to normalize things that are perverted. For too long we have looked the other way for fear of being reproached by a paganistic society, a society that claims women have been abused and oppressed for being made to stay home with their children. Well, folks, a divorced mother trying to make ends meet while trying to rear children is a woman that is oppressed and is in need of sympathy, not the loving wife and mother who is following God's plan as found in the Holy Scripture. Motherhood has been universally promoted by all in the church until recent times. Those who are responsible for distorting church teaching and Scripture have done a great disservice to the family, and they will most certainly have to answer to God for this travesty. Priests must go back to the Word of God and intelligently explain to the people the value of the father dedicating his life to his wife and children, for they are truly his most valued possessions. Priests need to understand and explain the significance of the wife's loving submission to the husband, which is her way of teaching her children loving obedience. And because of these God-inspired examples by both mom and dad, the children are much more likely to be obedient to their loving, yet imperfect parents. By adhering to the Word of God, parents are demonstrating by their very lives that loving obedience to God and those God has placed over them is the intelligent way to live. After all, what is the point of encouraging our children to read Scripture if what they read contradicts mom and dad's lifestyle? Mom must be happy in the home. One thing that will not work in the effort of getting mom back in the home is to demand her return. Even ridicule and shaming her will not work. Such tactics might make some women return home, reluctantly. But what do you end up with? You end up with a frustrated woman who has been forced into something against her will. A woman who has been pressured or humiliated into doing God's will is never going to achieve happiness. And if mom isn't happy in the home, nobody is going to be happy in the home. This is where education comes in. Our young ladies need to be taught the art of homemaking. They need to see the beauty of being a wife and mother demonstrated in the home by their mothers. They need to understand that to be truly happy, it will be necessary for them to maximize their God-given potentials. It is truly sad to see so many people, both young and old, living far below their God-given capabilities. And why? Because they have never been educated, really educated. Most have finished high school and many have gone on to college, but they are ignorant when it comes to succeeding in life. Most who attempt marriage will find their marriage ending in a bitter and heart-wrenching divorce. Financially, even with both working, they will most likely struggle through life, only to find that at retirement they will not have enough money to pay the bills. If anyone thinks I am exaggerating, just talk to our senior citizens. I stated that our young girls need to see the beauty of being a wife and mother in a home. But how can a young girl see a happy wife and mother in the home if their mother is out of the home working, fulfilling her own career aspirations? If our young girls are to see the role of homemaker as something beautiful, they will need to see their own mother lovingly embracing this role. Besides young girls seeing a happy and cheerful mother in the home, they will also need to see a positive attitude displayed by bishops, priests, and most importantly of all, Dad. Yes, Dad needs to show by word and in action that he truly cherishes the noble position the mother as homemaker plays, not only in the building up of the family, but even more importantly in the salvation of everyone in the family. Only until young women see parents, bishops, priests, and in fact the community as a whole having the attitude that money, fame, prestige, yes, even a career outside the home is like dung compared to a loving mother in the home, things will not change for the better. Do you think this will ever happen? Not without true repentance, turning around. We have to start living as though God really exists, and what Scripture has taught and the Church has defended for nearly 2,000 years is true. It is evident to me that Christ is referring to situations such as the woman working outside of the home when he said, "Those who have eyes and cannot see, and ears and cannot hear." Do we not see this horrible divorce rate, as high as 80% in certain areas of the country? Do we not see that even those who stay together, who fight it out to the bitter end, are not really happy? Parents are frustrated, children are angry, and all the while the liberal and hedonistic world is saying, "Problem? What problem? I don't see any problem. You shouldn't be so critical and judgmental." They would rather see a 100% divorce rate than see the mother enjoying and sharing a loving home with her family. This is how great the hatred for motherhood is by our paganistic world. What is needed today is for all Catholics, starting with the bishops on down, to focus all their attention on restoration of the family. The Church cannot be holy until the family is holy. As the family goes, so goes the Church, and at this point in time, the family is on the fast track to hell. The questions that we should be asking are, what is best for the family? What is best for the children? And most importantly of all, what is it that God expects of the family? Is money the real source of happiness, or is it a loving family? And last but not least, is the financial situation in the home better or worse since the two-income family has emerged? During many years of counseling couples, I have witnessed women who return to their rightful place in the home and discover that their money problems diminished along with their family problems. The degree of success is determined primarily by the perseverance and enthusiasm the spouses have in their pursuit of a better and more fruitful family life. Will they have to struggle? Sure, they will have struggles. Is it hard to fight peer pressure? Sure, it's hard to fight peer pressure. Can they succeed? Sure, they can succeed, and will succeed, especially if their parents, friends, and priests are there to encourage and support them. However, if their parents, friends, and priests do not support and encourage them, they are much more likely to fail. This is why a knowledgeable priest guiding and supporting young couples is so essential. We need pastors of souls who thoroughly understand the value of being a motherly mother rather than a career mom. Sad to say, the world has been far more successful in getting mom to despise her home than the Church has in getting her to see its potential beauty. One thing is certain, careers are destroying our families.